of Subcommittee on Joint Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Information Technology of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is June 9th. I'm opening a work session now. Oregon Department of Corrections, we have two projects. Please come forward. Those projects are electronic health records and inmate thin client network replacement. Mr. McSpadden, why don't you give us your opening?
Certainly. Co-Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee. The first project up for the Oregon Department of Corrections is the electronic health records project. Within Senate Bill 5504, policy option package number 101, the department has made a 2015-17 request for approximately $3 million general fund for this project. No permanent, limited duration, or temporary positions are being requested as part of the package. The estimated budget for the project includes a software as a service subscription cost, training and professional services necessary to plan, implement, and support the new system. The purpose of this particular project is to plan, acquire, and configure a commercially available off-the-shelf system. Again, the subject area is electronic health records.
Thank you. Proceed.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. It is a pleasure to be here today. For the record, I'm Bettina Davis. I'm the acting chief information officer for the Department of Corrections, and we are here today to provide an overview of the two information technology projects, which include the electronic health records, in short EHR, and the inmate thin client network, and to answer any questions you may have. All right. The first slide kind of describes our EHR project. DOC is responsible for providing and coordinating the health care for all DOC patients. The patient encounters occur primarily at DOC clinics, but also include off-site care provided at geographically dispersed specialty clinics and hospitals. And implementing, hope it's just allergies. Implementing an EHR solution will eliminate a paper-based medical record system and supports the following DOC business objectives, and I will just highlight a few. It will increase efficiency and access to medical records. It will ensure accountability and confidentiality, and it will ensure effective and efficient distribution of clinical information to support continuity of care. The key problems confronting our current paper filing systems are medical, dental, mental health, and pharmaceutical records share single paper-based files requiring handwritten entries. Misrouting of files between medical institutions during transport and misfiled records can potentially delay or obstruct continuity of care. And copying of medical records when requested by off-site providers is cumbersome and time-consuming. It is not uncommon for a chart to contain hundreds of pages. The inability to effectively share or access patient information, particularly when they are transferred between institutions or have services performed by various health services providers in different sections of an institution, is not a good thing. And the inability to efficiently collect data is another concern that the department has. The implementation of an EHR will minimize or eliminate the need for paper files in medical records rooms, which will free up valuable space, improve clinical workflows and operations. The next slide shows the DOC current state, and I can talk a little bit about these statistics to illustrate the handling that our paper records are going through, as well as the importance of sharing healthcare records with the offsite community. DOC provides health-related services to 14,600 patients in 14 prisons statewide. It's an aging population. DOC is responsible for maintaining patient records that meet the requirements set forth by administrative rules, federal and state laws pertaining to medical information. DOC handles over 500 adult and custody records during the intake and discharge process per month. And DOC medical providers and nurse staff provide more than 90,000 monthly on-site primary care appointments and patient care contacts. And we also coordinate appointment in the community with specialists that DOC doesn't have. The next slide illustrates the reasoning which is contained in our business case for this project. DOC seeks in an EHR system a system that's available via software as a service called SaaS solution, which is a software distribution model in which applications are hosted by a vendor or service provider and made available to customers over a network, typically the internet. We are also looking to obtain a system that has been implemented in a large state DOC environment, a system that offers configuration of forms, reports, handouts, and system settings so that we can brand the system towards the Oregon Department of Corrections, and a system that offers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year support by certified EHR professionals. The steps taken to date. This past year, DOC has been investing in the success of this project and has self-funded some of the preparation in anticipation of moving forward. We self-funded several pre-project initiation activities, getting together with healthcare staff, documenting current workflows, to-be workflows, talk about organizational change, gathering data for an organizational readiness assessment. Also, the Senate Bill 843 workgroup recommended that DOC purchases and implements an EHR system to improve clinical operations and increase operational efficiency. And based on the information gathered and submitted, alternative technical options were reviewed and a three-year roadmap was defined, which is outlaid in the business case. The EHR will provide DOC with a foundation for sharing data and essential information to improve business efficiencies and make evidence-based decisions. Furthermore, it will position the agency to take advantage of efficiencies from current and available technologies. DOC submitted the policy option package number 101. Which speaks to an EHR system which will provide DOC the foundation for sharing data and essential information to improve business efficiencies and make evidence-based decisions. Analysis work focused on the recommendation to pursue an EHR system as a software as a service, professional service contracts that are required to move a project forward and initiate the project is our professional project management services, business analysis services, and professional external quality assurance. The next two slides speak about the funding philosophy. We are at a high level estimation, plus minus 50%. We charted out $750,000 for professional services, for a project manager, business analyst, and QA services, which would also allow us to begin the formal backfill for health services professional services contracts team, meaning that we would take health services staff and build a DOC project team while backfilling their positions. Based on the research that has been completed, a SaaS commercial EHR system would cost an estimated $3.5 million in initial funding over a three-year project lifecycle, plus an additional subscription thereafter. And achieving a successful implementation of the EHR solution includes, at a high level, the funding of the option package through stage gate approvals, initiation of the project by leveraging professional services contracts, initiation of formal procurement processes, implementation of EHR system solutions, including the configuration of the systems, implement organizational change, provide process and system training to all staff involved, and do a system rollout to all sites when the staff is ready. In summary, an EHR system is critical to the administration of healthcare in the Oregon prison system. Stage gate process is being followed. The business case and information resource request, in short, IRR documents, were recently submitted to DAS. And we are now drafting the professional services contracts, anticipating the funding for these professional services, beginning with the primary project manager and the business analyst services. And now I will turn it over to Donnell Meyer, who will talk about the Inmate Thin Client Network.
Before you go into that, do you really have 544 FTE working on the health services?
Yes, we do. Those are 544 health services staff.
And will this system reduce that need for that many FTE?
We don't anticipate a reduction of staff. What we are anticipating with the EHR system is efficiency in performing their job so that the nurses don't have to do clerical duties as well as what they were hired to do, which is providing services.
Okay. Go ahead.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Donnell Meyer. I am the Education and Training Administrator for the Oregon Department of Corrections. The department currently operates an inmate thin client network. A thin client network is a network computer without a hard disk drive that depends heavily on its server. This is the computer system platform for all of our educational and law library software programs, which are required under ORS 421.084 and OAR 291-139-0020. Some of our community college partners have added additional donated computers to our labs internally with more updated programs in an attempt to add additional access to technology. However, the thin client is the only computer system DOC provides for education outside of the GED testing, which is now all computer-based. Currently, two of the software programs we use for education are unable to fully function on the thin client network due to its age. So we have three primary software programs we use, and two of them are not fully functioning. If the thin client network went down, we would no longer have any computer-based learning tools except for some limited keyboarding and word processing functions that we have installed on the GED computers.
I'm going to stop you for a minute. What program or service is not available that otherwise should be?
So we provide Aztec learning software. We provide a reading program called Reading Horizons. And then we work with CIS, which is College Information Systems. And those three programs no longer operate to their full functionality, so we still have them, but we're not able to access every tool available in them because our computers won't support it. So those are the educational software programs that we've purchased.
Give me an example of what someone can't do.
So Reading Horizons is a good example of that. They have videos that they show. So it streams videos. It walks them through a lesson, and then it'll have a demonstration video. Those demonstration videos won't run, or they won't run without stopping, installing, and to the point that it's frustrating, and they'll skip it. We actually went back to an older version of the Reading Horizon software because it ran a little better on the system than the most current version that we have. So those are just some things. There's an additional...
Excuse me interrupting, but I'm pretty interested in this. We're trying to help people prepare for reentry. Is that correct? And,
yes.
And prepare to go back to the community mm-hmm. and productive members of the community and have jobs, and they can't have... Okay. Thank you. I think you get the drift. Thank you.
I apologize for not referencing co-chair Nathanson.
I just had to make it crystal clear why, you know, this isn't just theoretical stuff, that something isn't working. It impacts people in a real way. That's what I was getting at. Thank you.
Every day.
Okay.
Yes. So if we lost our current thin client network, and you can see replacement parts are almost non-existent, our IT services have done a great job of trying to keep us running as best they can. Some of the institutions would be able to continue to use the donated computers that the colleges have provided, but those machines don't actually have all of the educational software on them, and not every institution has the donated machines. With the GED test now being strictly computer-based, and again, the ever-increasing need to be familiar with technology, the education computer labs are a critical component to their success, not just in education, but in their transition services. With a one-time capital investment of $623,175, we will be able to acquire current hardware that meets today's standards and can more effectively provide the required inmate services. We currently provide these network services through 21 servers that are outdated and have outlived their useful life. Additionally, the inmate network software has outgrown the existing hardware and is beginning to experience lag times and timeouts, as we discussed earlier. Due to the aging hardware, the inmate thin client network is at high risk of failure, leaving the agency vulnerable in providing mandated services. So at this time, I will turn it back over to Ms. Davis to finish.
But before you go ahead, you're talking about buying new hardware,
mm-hmm.
And I assume you said you purchased this software, or did you license it for some computers? Which
we purchased the licenses. So
licenses.
Yes, we purchased licenses.
So do you have enough licenses for all the new computers that you're going to buy?
Yes, Co-Chair Riley, yes, we do have licenses. We would be replacing the existing machines, so we have licenses for
okay.
all of them.
Thank you.
So the steps the department has taken to date, we submitted the POP to ask for funding. We inventoried our existing hardware, which is the servers, the client components, as well as the network gear. We have leveraged existing IT project managers to write the business case in IRR, and we are in the process of conducting internal reviews. And we are in the process of reviewing and making necessary adjustments to the network design. Real short, the policy option package 105 is requesting funding for an in-place full lifecycle replacement of the hardware, which means the servers and the client system. Most of them, I would say 90% of them, are about 10 years old. The lifecycle replacement will be performed by existing DOC FTE as part of our standard support responsibilities for the system. The funding philosophy is that the lifecycle replacement can be done during the next biennium. It's estimated to take about $623,000. And the estimated lifecycle replacement cost via bulk purchases through proof DAS computing price agreement should be all relatively easy to obtain. In summary, in closing, I want to emphasize the importance of the Inmate Thin Client Network. The Inmate Thin Client Network is a mission-critical service providing education and law library access to our adults in custody. The full functioning network is vital to the agency's obligation to meet constitutional mandates, and we're awaiting the funding. And that concludes our presentation. Thank you for providing an opportunity to speak to these two important policy option packages. And we're happy to answer any further questions you may have.
Any questions?
Not really, thank you.
Oh, yes, Senator.
Excuse me. I did have a couple questions, and it had to do with the electronic health records. And I kept thinking that found something in the LFO recommendation that talked about the different options that were available as far as either keeping the system going the way it is, make your own from scratch, get a mm-hmm. commercial off the shelf, and then something, and I'm not finding it again, but it had some to do with tying in with existing EHR systems that other agencies are using. I imagine OHA or DHS would be using those things? I don't
they
know.
May, I mean, we are open to all these options, and we have just, like yesterday, submitted the business case and the IRR for the DAS and the SageGate review, and we are looking forward to having these conversations with them.
And so maybe this is a question for Alfonso. So that was something that you looked at when you were doing your analysis?
Co-chairs, Senator Thatcher, yes, absolutely. As my analysis indicates, the agency and the project team is very early in the project life cycle. They have not even gone through the first stage gate with the Office of the State CIO. Mm-hmm. In part, that's the primary driver for LFO's recommendation that only the funding related to planning be approved at this point in time. They need to update their business case. They need to hire these professionals to come in, the project manager, so on and so forth, to help them plan the project and refine their options analysis.
So it's possible that these other, I believe there were four different scenarios that could be ways of approaching the project that could be explored. So this isn't necessarily, so you're looking at commercial off the shelf, leaning that way as you, because you believe that is probably the best way to go, but these other options aren't off the table. Is that a correct
That's
assessment?
That's correct. I think the only option that likely is off the table is continuing to do things the way we are in terms of the paper record, process that requires handling of 40,000 records in a warehouse and so on and so forth. There is a compelling need to change, to automate, to introduce automation of some kind, whether it's the entire system being replaced or not, hasn't yet been determined.
So. Yeah, I understand. And I was just looking at how, the act of people. In other words, mm-hmm. I had in the LFO recommendation 14,500 in custody. I think you said 600.
Yeah.
And then the initial expense would, guessing, plus or minus 50%, I guess, mm-hmm. 3,045,462. And that comes to $210 per inmate. But when you look at the costs going on, it doesn't look like they're about two-thirds of that. A good two-thirds plus of that initial expense. I don't know. Ongoing cost is pretty amazing. I'm just a little sticker shock there, because that's still a lot of money per inmate as far as active people in custody. And I'm thinking health care. What would be better? You know, giving them the health care or the setting up electronic records to make it more efficient.
Co-chairs, Senator Thatcher, in regard to the options analysis, the primary cost information that's been provided is for the currently recommended solution, and so it's highly likely that an internally developed system would cost far more. And so, in part, though, it's important for the agency to document what in fact it would cost, how long in fact it would take, so that a proper analysis can take place, based on the cost currently to manage the paper-based process, what it would cost them to internally develop themselves or have a third party do it for them, or to acquire an off-the-shelf system, which is most likely the direction that they're going to head. Yeah. It also is possible that one of the other state agencies that has a need for an electronic health record has already acquired or is planning to acquire an off-the-shelf
system. That's what I was really curious about, because it seems like there ought to be some synergy there.
So they still need to evaluate that, and again, that's the primary driver for our recommendation that only the planning funding be approved at this point in time.
And so I imagine the state CIO would be aware of any other pending projects or something that maybe next session would be occurring that maybe they could coordinate. Is that the plan?
That's correct.
The thinking?
Senator Thatcher, both offices, the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Office of the State CIO, are tracking the efforts of the Oregon Youth Authority, the Department of Human Services, Health Authority, and the Department of Corrections. So we have those particular efforts on our radar, and we're trying to ensure that there's coordination between those three agencies at minimum.
Okay, I'm just trying to imagine. Okay, so you have, they're wanting money to go ahead and plan this. Is it premature? I don't know. I'm just wondering if there maybe it should be explored. Maybe it already has been, and I'm just kind of walking into this here, but that the CIO knows of some of these other pending mm-hmm. projects, maybe not. It just seems like go ahead and plan this when maybe there's some other preliminary stuff that should be done, but maybe it's already been done. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just kind of walking into this. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
So, Senator Thatcher, in regard to the initial effort that the Department of Correction needs to go through, they need to define their requirements. Mm-hmm. The other agencies need to also do that kind of work so that the requirements can then be compared.
Okay.
And we're not yet at that point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That does clarify mm-hmm. then. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Are there other questions? If not, what's the next step for us?
Certainly. So,
what's your recommendation?
So can we take the electronic health record?
Are we in a work session, by the way?
We are. I think I opened the work session.
We did
already.
Open a work session.
Thank you. She's nodding. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. If we could take the electronic health record project first.
Certainly.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends incremental conditional approval of policy option package number 101. Again, assuming the spending authority and personnel resources are made available to DOC within Senate Bill 5504. Specifically, we recommend that only the funding requested for project planning activities be approved and that DOC be required to seek additional funding and obtain legislative approval to proceed with project execution activities during the 2016 annual legislative session. The balance of our recommendations are the standard recommendations that we make for projects that are in this early stage of concept. There's
Thank
some
you.
Standard work that needs to be done.
All right.
You ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
Madam Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendations for POP 101 and move it to the
Public Safety
Subcommittee of Ways and Means.
Motion has been made. Is there discussion?
Just a clarification on what the request is for, because I see a request for $3,045,462, and that's for the whole project, I take it. And so what part is the one you're talking about that we're motioning on, moving on?
Co-chairs, Senator Thatcher, the agency has made a full request for the project within their policy option package. However, the LFO recommendation is that the funding related to the planning portion of the project be approved. And ultimately, that action will be taken by the Public Safety Subcommittee. At this point, the agency has estimated $750,000.
Thank you. I knew I saw that number somewhere. Yeah. Thank you.
And that, and to just complete that thought, although the agency has estimated that is the amount they'll need for those initial resources, work still is going on with the agency and the Legislative Fiscal Office budget analyst for DOC to determine what the exact amount will be ultimately included in their budget.
So. Because right now it's a plus or minus 50% even on that request, is
yes.
that right?
Okay. And also it's general fund, and the amount needed for or available for the project is still being worked out with the co-chairs.
Okay, so all we're doing is just punting this over to them.
And we're saying that the planning amount is the only amount to be approved.
Okay.
Committee, we're going to be at ease for just a moment. Thank you. We're no longer at ease. We're back in session. There's a motion on the table to accept the LFO recommendation on this one part. Any other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Thank you. Next recommendation.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, on the inmate Finn Client Network replacement project, LFO recommends conditional approval of policy option package number 105, assuming the spending authority and personnel resources are made available to DOC within Senate Bill 5504. Specifically, LFO recommends that the Department of Corrections continue to work with and regularly report project status to the Office of the State Chief Information Officer and the Legislative Fiscal Office throughout the life cycle of this project, that they follow all DAS and Office of the State CIO rules, policies, and standards related to the review, approval, and oversight of IT projects and the procurement of IT hardware and software, that they hire or retain or contract for qualified project management services for this project, and that they utilize the Office of the State CIO's enterprise project and portfolio management system for project reporting and any quality assurance that may be required.
Madam Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation for Prop 105 and transmit that to the Public
Safety
Subcommittee of Ways and Means with the due pass. And I believe that that's at $693,000.
That's correct.
That's my move that we accept the.
Great. Motion has been made. Is there discussion on the motion, which is the LFO recommendation? Objections? Motion passes. Thank you. Mr. McSpadden, describe what happens next, just because there are a few people watching here.
Sure. Co-Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, we're today's agenda is concluded. We will transmit the approved recommendations onto the Public Safety Subcommittee. And at this point, for the rest of this week, we do not plan to have a Thursday meeting, but certainly I'll make sure all of you and your staff are made aware if the co-chairs decide otherwise. But at this point, you have a free Thursday this week.
Okay. Okay. There's no other business before the committee. We are adjourned.
Right.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Right.
Thank you.